617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, live at Gillette here on a Patriots Monday. We just spoke with Drake May. If you have anything to react to on that one, certainly a couple of big quotes there that I think are going to start making the rounds, as he was very, very relaxed. I didn't think there was... He didn't seem very nervous. I mean, he does speak kind of quickly, but that's, I think it's just a southerner, you know? That's the way they talk.
Definitely a kind of connecting of all the words there.
He seemed pretty relaxed. He seemed pretty comfortable with the Q&A, and we'll have some of that up for you. If you missed it, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. We will also post some clips on Twitter and on YouTube as well. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. 617-779-7937. Tim is in Hanover. Go ahead, Tim.
Guys, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it might be.
It's not morning.
I just want to say May played a great game yesterday. In my eyes, I give him a solid C. We already knew he was going to have the interception issue. That's just part of being a rookie quarterback, man, when you step in. But I know by playing Houston yesterday, I think it elevated his game because you want to play against a better team instead of going into a weaker team. The only thing I want to see out of the receivers, I want to see the receivers go back to the ball and help him because they got a weaker team. You gotta help him in any way you can to move the ball forward. And that's how you got Welker and you got Edelman. They always came back when there was nothing available, and that's how he was able to help the team go forward. And any time they were struggling.
Okay, thanks for the call, Tim. I appreciate that, and I think that that's, you know, there's something to that. Also, Welker and Edelman would get open in one step. I mean, those guys were about as good as it got in the slot in terms of making a guy miss, moving in the other direction, and getting a pass from Brady right away. So it takes time to develop a connection like that. It takes time. It takes reps. And he didn't really bite on the question, but I didn't love how at the end of the game they just were handing off and running the clock and huddling up, and it's like – the game's over. Can we give the kid some reps here or not? I mean, it's garbage time, sure. But this is a real NFL game. It's a real NFL defense. We talked all along about how he needs the reps. That's how you get better. That was a perfect opportunity for it, and instead they just ran the clock out.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily know what the thought process, what the thinking was there. I don't love it, to be honest with you.
I don't like it at all.
I agree with you, especially now. Reps matter more than ever because you kind of wasted the first five games.
Exactly.
Actually, I've been saying you've been wasting them since the preseason game against the Panthers, that he's playing catch-up on reps he could have had. And I know they're not the best reps, but every rep matters. I I don't know who sets that tone.
Right.
If that's a Mayo tone, if that's an Alex Van Pelt tone, that's going to be interesting. I will say it felt genuine, his affinity, respect, and positive relationship with Alex Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. Did you take that the same way?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't feel like any...
It wasn't like he was struggling to come up with a way to say it. Like I think he legit
respects and likes his coach. And we'll see where that goes. I mean, they've only had one game together. Maybe that changes in a month or 2 months. I also found interesting, if we're doing takeaways, he, if you noticed in there, said the crossers... He thinks that's one of his best throws.
Yeah.
I'll respectfully disagree based on the limited time I've been around Drake May. I don't think that's one of his best throws, and I didn't think it was obviously one of his best throws yesterday. But I will say, if he has confidence that he's not going to miss those again, that's really good. Because I think he will hit the long throws more often than the average quarterback.
And he did hit a crosser. I mean, he hit one for a touchdown late
perfect
in the game.
So the last one was right, yeah. Couldn't have been any better. The last one, especially if you saw they had an end zone angle of it, it could not have been a better throw. But if he does that 3 out of 4 times instead of 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 times, especially with a guy like Pop Douglas, but a lot of these receivers are catch and run guys. If you give them the ability to run, they will take it. Just don't throw it behind them and make them lose stride.
Yeah, or in Jalen Polk's case, a drop and run.
It was a cheap shot at Jalen Polk.
It really was. Jay is in North Carolina. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I'm down here, and every time I open my mouth, they say, "Where are you from?" So there's no disguising that I'm a Patriots fan.
All right.
But, you know, the thing is, with the offense, I've been critical of the offense. Is the defense ever going to show up? I said, this is going to be a long season. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, Jay, listen, he has every right to be. This defense has not been good so far. Even in the games where I think they played better than maybe the final score showed, it's not the same kind of day. The game planning's not the same.
Nope.
I feel like the pass rush is pretty much non-existent.
Nope.
And the secondary play, which was supposed to be a strength and I thought would be a strength on this team, has been mediocre at best, I'd say. I mean, it's maybe being nice about it, but I thought they were going to be top 10 secondary maybe in the league. I didn't think that was too far off with Gonzalez and Jones and the other Jones and, Peppers and Duggar. Now, Peppers obviously isn't on the team right now, and we'll see what ends up happening with that. But even with him being away, I still consider this to be a strong secondary, and they have not been.
And, you know, I know there'll be guys coming back, so they'll pencil in Barmore, maybe this year, Barmore.
Right.
But, you know, Bentley next year. But I think it's going to add layers of off-season angst or issues, because I think most of us still thought offensive line, playmakers, weapon, even like depth at running back,
yep,
depth at tight end. Now I think more people are like, maybe they need to target a pass rusher at a relatively high level. Maybe they need to add some, you know, linebacker depth on defense. And I think there's maybe opening the door for more questions about the roster on defense than most people would have expected to have coming off this season.
Yeah, and this was a draft where they drafted almost all offense except for the one kid,
Dial,
out of South Carolina, and that's it. And I haven't seen much of him this year, so I don't know what their plans are for him or anything. But when you draft all offense like that, you better hit on more than one guy. And I don't know that they did.
Well, but if they hit on the one guy, it's all that matters.
No, it isn't. I don't think it is all that matters.
I'm just trying to be positive.
You don't have other offensive weapons to look at and say, well, you missed on it, but at least you still have Diggs, or at least you still have Jefferson, or at least you still have these other guys.
At least you have T. Higgins.
You don't have anything. You don't have anything right now. And I don't know. It seems like Caden Wallace looks like a miss. Layden Robinson, I don't know what he is. Polk doesn't look great. Baker can't get on the field. Joe Milton's a third quarterback, and Bell I haven't seen at all. So it's like this is your offensive, and you needed help at all those positions, right? You needed help at wide receiver. You needed help on the offensive line, and you're not getting it from any of your draft picks. So that's a problem. That means you're gonna have to go back in the draft, try it again next year.
Well,
and that's, I mean, you know, like if you're going all offense like that, you have to hit on more than one.
Things can change in a hurry with rookies in both directions. I still remember. Was it? It was 2 years ago, the draft. Would they play Cleveland? And Fitzy was like over the top. Every draft pick played and contributed to this game, and this is going to be the greatest
remember
draft
Jack
class.
Remember Jack Jones's
pick
six? Yeah,
they were all
that,
doing
yeah.
stuff. And I was like, okay, we'll see. And it's like half of them were gone a half a season later.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? So the inverse can be true. Layden Robinson is the one for me that I think looks like he might have potential to be a starting guard on this team. And then one of the receivers, because receiver is still a position, not just for the Patriots, but everywhere. I know everybody gets all worked up about so many teams get instant impact receivers. There's also receivers that take a while.
Yeah.
You know, I think Drake London's a guy that has evolved into what being better than what his initial impact was in Atlanta. And I think there's more of those guys than you'd think. So, to me, you have to get one of those guys. Baker or Polk needs to be a part of the future with this team. And that goes back to that drill that one of the callers was asking for the other day, sort of the X or the check mark on every guy. Both of those guys are complete unknowns right now. I mean, if you made me pick X or check mark, I think you have to pick X.
I'd pick check mark just because they're cheap and you have them cheap on the roster for a couple of years.
But cheap inactives,
that's the only reason, yeah.
But cheap inactives or cheap guys that drop the ball are useless.
Yep.
Like, they do me no good. But I would also... Would it stun you if one of those two receivers by December were talking about, wow, the last couple of weeks he's really built a rapport with May and made some plays and blah, blah, blah? Like,
no, it wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't shock me either.
No, but they are off to both bad starts, I'd say.
Absolutely bad starts. Yeah. But I think the nature of the wide receiver position lends itself to some of those guys being late season or even year two. And I know we won't buy it because we'll be skeptical because we've, you know, tried to sell it with Tyquan Thornton or we've tried to sell it with other guys in the past. But, you know, you... At some point, you got to think they're going to hit a receiver, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't I?
I mean, we've been waiting 25 years. But
it's not even just like, how does it go through different wide receiver coaches, different head coaches, different GMs, different executive vice presidents
different
of
scouts,
player personnel?
Different everything, yeah.
Different every. How can you guys always miss on wide receiver?
I don't know, but they do. It's amazing.
So far, it looks that way.
It's pretty unbelievable. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, Robert Kraft made an appearance on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne and DJ Envy, and he had a lot to say about Bill Belichick. Also, Gerard Mayo may have taken a veiled shot, and maybe even not so veiled shot, at Belichick, who was razzing him a little bit last week when asked about the roster and why the roster is what it is. Chris Curtis asked him about that. Some Belichick shots going around in the media earlier today. We'll get to all that next. That was head coach Jerod Mayo this morning talking with the Greg Hill Show. That was Curtis asking the question, and what an answer, huh? You tell me. Okay. Because the guy before you had a bunch of bad drafts in a row and didn't make very good decisions with free agency and so on and so forth. And neither did the new guy, by the way. New guy's draft isn't looking too hot.
Not so far.
And the free agent signings, I don't think, were anything that set the world on fire, since it was mostly just guys who were on the four-win team the year before. And that's really what it's about, and that's unfortunate. But I do think that that question and that answer was a not-so-veiled shot at Bill Belichick. I mean, right? Like, it's clear to me, I think.
Because it's facts.
Yeah.
Like, he's just acknowledging facts, but he's basically saying, I'm not going to verbalize them.
Right.
I'm not going to. You know the answer to your question, so I'll let you answer it yourself, basically. I'll let you guys talk about that. We all know it. It still happens all the time on feeds, on Twitter all the time. People love to list Belichick's draft from whatever they are, 15 on, or whatever the years are in that span of just, and you forget. I forget. Like, I even, every time it's sort of revisited, it's like, oh, yeah, they took Duke Dawson in the second round. Like, all these guys that just didn't work out.
Wynn, Michelle, Dawson.
Like, that's a bad draft.
Bad.
Like, if you nail those, and I'm not saying it's fair to maybe expect you to nail all of them, but if you get a left tackle, a franchise running back, and a cornerback who's like a high-end starter, that's transformational.
Definitely.
If you miss on all of them, it's also transformational, but in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is, and I understand Jerod not wanting to go all in. He wouldn't. Just like I don't think Bill has gone all in ripping Jerod, or Jared, as they might call him on the CBS broadcast.
Right, Jared.
But like,
or Jerod.
You know, maybe what maybe what Jerod just said. What did he say? I'm not going there. Is that how he answered?
Yes. Well, he said, you tell me, and then he said, no, I'm not going there after that,
Maybe Bill, after week one against the Bengals, told producers, yeah, I'm not going there, about the Patriots. Like, they can both kind of keep their distance from the obvious whatever their relationship.
Well, Belichick
topic.
Went there a couple weeks later, that's for sure, and he shouldn't be going there because that's his job now. His job isn't to make friends and keep people happy and make sure everybody still loves him in New England. It's to go out there and opine on the NFL and talk about it and analyze it. And analyzing the Patriots now, it's easy to take shots at, I'm sure, but that was definitely a shot back.
You think he'll go there this week? And I haven't seen what Bill has done today. I haven't really been on the socials to see, you know, will we get any... looks like the Patriots got a young quarterback, but we had a young quarterback making plays too. You never know how that turns out in the end. Like, I feel like there could be snarky shots.
I bet you there will be. Right? I mean, listen, that was a big story this week. Drake May starting was a big story this
week.
And one of the not the biggest one in the league or anything, because it's a 1-5 team, but in terms of, you know, a guy who was picked third overall, who's been kept on the shelf now until this point in the season, on a prestigious team with a rookie head coach who's gotten off to a bad start. Like, yeah, this was a big story. And I think that he, for the most part, rose to the occasion. He wasn't perfect. Already went over some of the shortcomings that he had in this game. But I think, in general, anybody who feels good about Drake May going forward should feel good about him. The rest of the team... That's where I'm sort of stuck. That's where I still can't quite get there, because as good as I think Drake May can be, there's 52 other guys on the team. Maybe knock out two of them. Knock out Douglas, knock out Booty. So 50 other guys on the team who I think are struggling right now, who I think are playing below what they should be at, and who I think maybe wasting a year of Drake May's rookie contract, which you may have done anyway by shelving him for 5 weeks. But to just sort of throw that out the window because the roster's so bad, I feel like is poor planning at most.
So can I flip the script a little bit and take the positive side, as I want to do? I told Brian earlier, I'm in this weird world where when I'm on with Fitzy on Six Rings, I'm the negative guy. And when I'm on with you, I find myself being like the optimistic, positive guy. So I guess it's good.
The yin and the yang.
It brings out my objectivity here.
Right.
Even if, like, the depth of the drafts are questionable, if Christian Gonzalez is who we think he is, and Drake May is who we optimistically hope he is. I'm not going to say we think he is, because you can't really think after. We can go over that list that Alex Speer tweeted out of the others with three touchdowns in their first NFL start. And Todd Marinovich and other guys.
That was depressing reading that.
It was.
I wish you hadn't even told me about
it. It was a bit of a downer. It was a bit of a Debbie Downer there by Alex Speer.
Here we go. Here's the three NFL rookies with three touchdown passes in their first career start. Will Levis, bad start right there.
Ouch, babe.
Trevor Lawrence.
Eh.
Marcus Mariota. Ugh. Matt McGloin, who I haven't even heard that name in a long time. I forgot he even played.
Yeah.
Josh Freeman, Kansas State. Tony Banks, Marinovich. Ed Rubbert, who I don't have no idea, 87. Kevin Sweeney, also 87. Dan Marino, pretty good.
Ooh, Dan Marino. Never won a Super Bowl, though.
Jackie Lee, who played in the 60s, and MC Reynolds, which sounds like the worst rapper ever, who played in 1958. And that's it. That's the 12 rookies, along with Drake May, who had three touchdown passes in their first start. Dan Marino and the worst group you've ever heard of.
Is this like one of those things where remember for a while the NFL MVP never won the Super Bowl or whatever? Is this like one of those negatives? It's bad to throw three touchdowns in your NFL debut?
Clearly, it's the worst thing that can happen.
Well, he's going to break the trend. Just like everybody told me, there's never been a good quarterback drafted third overall or some stupid thing. That's why you couldn't draft a quarterback. There's
right.
one of those. He's breaking all the trends and the molds and everything from the past. Drake May changes everything. But in all seriousness, if the only two picks they nail from the last two drafts, the first one, which was, it was Groh, the collaborative, Belichick.
Right.
We weren't really sure.
Which got you Gonzalez and White. So, I mean, you know, that
But
that
forget
looking,
White.
Okay.
I'm not sold on White.
Not
go
sold
back
on
and
White.
Look at one of those long runs. He just got squashed like bug.
Yeah.
Run fits. He was fit right out the hole. But let's just say Christian Gonzalez.
The guy who got all the sacks yesterday, I'd never heard of before.
Oh, Roy?
Who the hell is that?
No idea.
Never seen him before in my life.
And then they were like his second game with a sack, and I'm like, wait, he had another game with a sack? Where the hell have I been? I host a post-game show. I'm supposed to know these things. But if Christian Gonzalez is a Pro Bowl corner, let's just say that. Not all pro, not Hall of Famer. Pro Bowl corner. And Drake May is your franchise quarterback. Those are two good drafts, right? Those are foundational in a two-year span, regardless of the other six players taken or whatever the total is. And now you just have to hit on it moving forward. If you always draft a Pro Bowler, I feel like that lays a pretty good foundation for a roster in a three, four, five-year span, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're optimistically observing Christian Gonzalez, one of the most important positions at football, and Drake May, most important position in football, Patriots are laying a foundation. Why don't you... do something to that, wet blanket boy.
Hey, listen, that's a nice foundation if they end up working out.
I made you positive for just a second.
If they end up working out, that's a great foundation.
Wait,
Absolutely. Are
you having doubts about Gonzalez?
A little bit.
Just because it...
I thought he got smoked yesterday.
Smoked feels strong.
I thought he got rolled
he
up
was
and
chasing.
Smoked yesterday. And on that one long run...
To put it blunt.
Ugh. I mean, no one was tackling well, but I was not impressed by Gonzalez in that game.
You know what I didn't like about that? Wasn't a tackling issue. I don't think he was running full speed. It's like he anticipated where he was going to meet him, and he's like, oh, I'm going to meet him at the 5. I don't need to run any faster. I didn't like the hustle on that. You're right. You're right. Down arrow on him. Forget him.
Yeah, see, I made him hate Christian Gonzalez.
Instead of me bringing you to the positive side, you brought me to the dark side because I forgot about watching the replay. I did not like his effort and his hustle on that play.
Yeah.
He was not all in to catch him. And that is the most basic drill in the history of football. Every level, you run that stupid rabbit drill where a guy runs down the sideline and everybody pursues at different angles. And if you're like the backside corner, you're supposed to be the last guy. You got to meet him before he gets to the end zone. And he was not going full speed. I'd like to see the advanced numbers or whatever from the NFL on his speed. It was not as fast as he can run.
No, it wasn't. We just played that clip of Jerod Mayo taking a shot back at Bill Belichick. And speaking of shots taken at Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft joined the good people over at the Breakfast Club Morning Show, which is a nationally syndicated show with Charlamagne and DJ Envy. And unfortunately, I forget the young lady's name on that show, but I can tell you that Kraft going on there, he went on there to promote his timeout against hate thing that he's got going on. And Charlamagne asked him a question about Brady and Belichick, which obviously that was going to be a big part of the conversation. And Kraft's answer was very interesting.
Very.
Did Tom need Bill or did Bill need Tom?
Are you two married?
23 yes, years.
Yep. How many?
26 years. Well, married for 10, but been with my wife for 26 years.
Married 23 years.
So think about your marriage. And by the way, that decision, if you get the right person, you're going to go through tough times.
Absolutely. Stop it for a second, Stiz, real quick. He always comes back to marriage, doesn't he? It's always about marriage. Jerod Mayo, when I met my wife, I knew. And then it's like, when I met Jerod Mayo, same feel. It's all about marriage is like the center of his universe when it comes to these comparisons.
And I do think for him, they're kind of the two most important decisions he makes in his life.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's lots of businesses and players and this and that and deals with the box company.
Mm-hmm.
But he married the right woman and then he married the right coach and – it laid the foundation for the success of his life.
Yes, it did. All right, go on, Stu. Sorry.
But you stay together. especially if you have kids, and the dividends you get later.
Mm-hmm.
But who's more responsible for
me
keeping it together? How do you answer that? And that's
my wife. That's easy, my wife.
You don't. So, the rest, they just start laughing. And
oh, okay, fine. I was, yeah, that's that was a part of it for sure. And, you know, it was in some ways, and there's more to, there was more parts of it there when he talked about Belichick and how, you know,
the
he didn't want to have to fire him. He gave him so much power. The check, do we have that part?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a different, you threw me off when you asked about the way you, but yeah, this was the question that the girl from the Breakfast Club asked. And then,
okay,
and
sorry,
then he
I, mixed up, I mixed
yeah,
up the
yeah, yeah,
I didn't
no
set
worries.
That up very well. My bad.
All right, here we go. Here's the juicy
answer.
One.
Yes.
So you and Belichick, like, where? Are you, what's the relationship now? Because, you know, it's been on and off rumors that y'all don't really deal, y'all don't really like each other like that.
Look, I kept him for 24 years. I didn't enjoy having to fire him, but I tried to do it. If you look at the press conference and how it happened, try to do it in a classy way. And what he did for us
one sec,
was great.
One second. We have the ability of hindsight now. Is that a classy firing? That press conference where they were in that old crappy room that not even the new room with the press conferences, it was in that old room, and he's standing up there next to him on stage. Like, was that a classy firing?
They tried to. Remember, it was not a firing. It was
a mutual parting of ways. Right.
I guess that
ruse. Which, by the
over.
Way, is like, yeah, I didn't want to have to fire him. But,
I fired his ass last January, and I did it like that.
But I was classy about it.
Wouldn't you have just said we had to mutually part ways? If you're going to start that narrative,
mm-hmm.
Don't you stick to it?
Yeah.
Why do you say, I fired his ass?
I mean, I think we all know that it wasn't a mutual part.
No, I know,
ways,
but we all knew then, mm-hmm. And they pretended then. So why did we, so there is there a statute of limitations on the pretend?
On how long you can lie?
You pretend to early October, and then when mid-October comes, I'm telling everybody I fired you.
As soon as I'm going on the Breakfast Club, I'm going to really spill the beans. All right, anyway, guys.
Well, we saw how it just went with Robert Saleh, so given that, I mean.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
It was classier than
it was
that.
Yes. You know.
And what he did for us was great, you know. People need to adapt. Things can change. In life, it's about getting good chemistry and trust. Feel that, you know, our record the last 3 to 4 years wasn't what I wanted, and I had given him so much power. He had full control over everything, and shame on me. I should have had some checks and balances better. But he had earned that right. But then the results weren't there. And if you're in the sports business, you win or you lose. There's no gray.
Right. All right. So you kind of talked in a circle there. But
there's a lot of buts.
Right. Either shame on you for no checks and balances, or he earned the right. Which one is it? It's got to be one or the other.
And you
shame
didn't,
on me.
You didn't really give him the power. He earned the power.
Right.
Or did you give it to him? Like, you know what I mean? If he earned it, and I have no idea how that went on behind the scenes, because I was always under the impression, I learned something this offseason that I never knew. I had always thought Bill had full power when he got here, and then it became, even Robert said this, he didn't get full power till after the third Super Bowl.
Right.
2004 is when he took full power. How did that come about? Was that just Robert saying, you know what, you should have full power? Or did Bill say, I want full power? You know, and when you ask for something.
I bet you Bill asked for it.
Right. And when somebody asks, isn't there always the implication? Or? So if Bill says, I want full power in 2004.
Or I'm out of here.
Or what, right? Like, isn't there always that
and
or?
And we don't know what any of his contracts ever were, right? Like, there none of that was ever public, so we don't know when he had to be re-signed or when that conversation even needed to start happening or anything. So it could have been then, or is the defining factor.
And a lot of these dynasties or these Super Bowl runs break up because of that.
Yeah.
Right? Jimmy Johnson in Dallas. Like, credit, who's doing more, can't live with you anymore, either or. And I think that's an interesting thing that I kind of learned. One of the few things through this whole, like, retrospective was, he didn't have full power before then, which means now he's got 3 Super Bowl rings. He's got the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the leverage. So did he leverage it? Did he leverage it for both money and power? And is that what Robert's telling us? That he kind of took full control and I regret the full control that I gave him? But can he really regret it when there were 3 Super Bowls on the back end? You got paid off?
Yep.
Like, when did it become regrettable? Just in the last couple of years when he wasn't very good and wasn't winning? And that was post-Brady. So there's just, It's an interesting conversation, but he definitely kind of talks in circles.
Definitely.
Like there's like three buts in there, but I should have, but I didn't, but he took it, but he earned it, but I gave it.
But shame on me for not doing it. Right. Yeah, right, exactly. I think, honestly, we'll take a break here, but I think it was just a simple math problem. I think that if Kraft thought Bill could have gotten the Shuler record here in the next 2 years, then he would have put up with all that stuff. He said, you know, it wasn't great, and we weren't winning games, and we weren't even competing for playoff spots. If there was enough time left and only enough games that he had to win like 7-8 games a year for the next 2 years to catch Shula, I bet he'd still be here, because I think Kraft wanted that to happen here. And I think that that's something he would have tolerated in order for that to happen here. The only problem is if you're winning 4 games a year, 3, 4, 5 games a year, it's going to take 5 years to get there. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just simple math. He said, you know what, this isn't going to happen, so let's fire him now and move on and get on with our lives. I honestly think that. I think it was as simple as that.
I'm not so sure. I think it got a little toxic, and I think what happened was, to use his thing, the marriage. Well, you're in a marriage that maybe you don't love, but your husband slash wife
separate beds.
Yes, yeah. But they're making $5 million a year, and you're living a pretty good lifestyle, and the kids are around. Now the kids have grown up and left, mm-hmm. and they just got laid off, and you're making $32K, and you're like, yeah, I'm not really into this anymore. I never really loved it, but I loved the $5 million. Now the kids are gone, and the money is gone. You know who else is gone? Peace.
See you later. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls right after this. That was Drake May with us. Sandy Hart asked a question about his brothers and that whole thing. And that was a good answer, I thought. You know, his brothers are all very good athletes, a very athletic family, very similar to the Gronkowskis. I thought that was a good analogy and something that Gerard Mayo brought up earlier today. And we'll see. We'll see on a game-by-game basis how that type of tough love or that type of relationship, that type of support system really is what it is, if that makes a difference or not. I think that it's a positive thing regardless. But, you know, we'll see if that actually plays into his development as a player.
And support system is a way to put it, but I'm not sure it's always support. Sometimes it's, as he said, sort of tough love.
Right.
And you never know. Like, you can retroactively, I guess, judge it. Remember, like, Edelman always talked about how hard his dad was on him.
Yeah.
And that can work, right? Like, that can work for some people. It can break others. It can create toxic relationships or bonds for life type. You never really know. It just feels like this works. I did think he kind of distanced himself from the Gronkish personality, like yeah. Mayo said this morning. Didn't seem like he wanted to go down that road. And I think it's what I said about that. It's one thing to be a meathead tight end. I don't think you want to be the meathead quarterback. Right. And I think people do look, for better or worse, look at Gronk as a meathead.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. A
definitely.
Meathead. And he's never gotten credit for how smart he is, in my opinion, and not book smart and, you know, ability to break down games on TV. Smart.
Who's the best all time meathead quarterback? It's a good question, right? Like, I can't think of
Ben
that.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger was a big meathead quarterback. Sure. Yeah, he might be right up there.
But it's not a position where meathead and the position go hand in hand. It's
right.
about like smart leadership, like face of a franchise, CEO of the team. And I don't, so I could, it's smart, I think, to sort of, you don't want to be the Gronk of quarterbacks. I think you want to just be.
I mean, he's one of the greatest tight ends ever, so you do want to be that. But
no,
yeah.
I get
I know
that.
What you're saying, yeah.
But it's the classic example of, and I also think some of that is changing. I don't think we're going to get a lot of Tom Brady corporate quarterbacks again, Peyton Manning corporate quarterbacks again, because these guys just grow up differently.
Josh Allen kind of a meathead?
Yes.
Yeah.
He would be in the top meathead quarterbacks.
He's sort of a meathead QB.
And guess what? Who do I compare Drake May to?
Sure.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So I would embrace that. But some of you people in Patriot Nation think Josh Allen's a clown and he's never won anything. He's never going to win anything. Maybe he's too much.
Did
of
I say? I don't think I ever said that.
No, you people. I just lump you,
you
in.
Pointed
with you
at me.
People. Yeah, because you're the face of you people right
oh,
now.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works. I need somebody to point at.
Okay.
But no, there's a lot of Patriots fans that think very little of Josh Allen because he's never won a Super Bowl. It's the elitist, spoiled mentality that has ruined this region on some level when people look at things that way. But there are people that look at things that way, and they might bristle if you called Drake May a meathead quarterback, just like Josh Allen's a meathead quarterback.
I would
take it as a positive.
But I also think that, like, in the Brady years, there were guys who were below them, you know, like the Roethlisbergers of the world. Roethlisberger won 2 Super Bowls, so that's not a great example. But there were, you know, guys like McNair and, you know, some of these other lesser quarterbacks who were good, and they played well, and they put up good numbers. But you sort of looked at him and said, yeah, you're no Brady, you're no Manning, you're no Roethlisberger, right. You're none of those guys. So, you know, there's tiers. And I think that Allen, until he breaks through and either plays in a Super Bowl or wins an MVP or something like that, is going to be going up against the Jacksons of the world, the Burrows of the world, the Mahomeses of the world. Like, that's just the reality of the NFL.
And I would also say the one thing that I would think is similar both between Roethlisberger and Allen is I think throughout their careers, so to this point with Allen and the totality of Roethlisberger, they made stupid throws. They made stupid plays, like mm-hmm. head-scratching, meathead kind of plays yeah. throughout their career. And I, you know, whereas I don't think Peyton Manning and Tom Brady made meathead, head-scratching type plays.
Will Levis is a meathead quarterback.
He's absolutely a meathead, yeah. but not a good one.
Not
right
a good
now,
one.
He's a bad meathead quarterback.
True.
So I can see, you know, if I'm Drake May, I want to be, you want to be Patrick Mahomes, right? Because he's the modern in a lot of ways with the attitude and the fun-loving and mm-hmm. the playmaking, but he's also the cerebral. When the game is on the line, he's going to make the right play, not the wrong play. He's the ultimate winner, and that's probably the trend you want to go. Herbert, where's Herbert? Because that's the other common comp for Drake May is Herbert. He's not a meathead.
No.
I wouldn't say he's overly
Herbert
cerebral.
Herbert is who I'm scared Drake May is going to have a career like. You know, like that's when I talk about the team and I talk about sort of, you know, a good quarterback having a good season or a good performance or whatever, and the team not being able to get out of its own way and support him.
Mm-hmm.
And those Chargers teams had talent on them. I mean, there was a lot of good players
on
those teams. On the offense and defense, and the coach was a big part of it, sure.
Boob.
I don't know how great our coach is here, by the way, either, just while we're on the subject of that. But that's sort of
Jared.
You know, Gerard Mayo, I don't know. But, like, that's sort of my fear is that May's going to have a good career statistically, but with all the good career and all of that, they're going to be stuck missing the playoffs, maybe one wild card appearance or something like that. The team around him or the coach is going to let him down, and that's going to be it. And then, you know, you have to make a decision. Well, do we want to keep him around and spend all this money to bring her? Do we want to start over or whatever it's going to be? And the Chargers paid Herbert, obviously, but it hasn't necessarily paid off for him yet. You know, that's the thing. You can be a good quarterback on a team, on a bad team, or even a talented team that's not a great unit or not well coached or something, and it just doesn't work out. And that's what I see when I look at this team.
How many teams you think right now would line up and take Justin Herbert?
No, most of them.
Okay.
Sure.
So that's how good he is. So it's there's
well,
other
not most,
issues.
But there's other teams that would. I mean, like,
no, but
the
there's
Bills
a lot
in the Chiefs.
No, I know, but
would,
a lot yeah. of teams would. It's like yeah. half the league probably would line up.
Yeah, I'd say about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like so he brings something to the field that is at least alluring to NFL teams.
Sure.
And we're gonna find out because now you take away the boob head coach. Now you theoretically.
Yeah, you also took away all the talent off the offense.
Well, but the talent will come back, and it's like marrying the two together. So we're gonna be. He's still in the prime of his career. He's still
right.
young. Like, his whole aura or whatever could change very quickly in the next couple of years if Harbaugh does what Harbaugh do. He rebuilds programs, right? That's what he does. Every step of the way he's ever been, he's rebuilt the program.
Yep.
He didn't get over the top in San Francisco, but he got to the top. He got to the big game. So I don't rule out the fact that he's going to help buff up Justin Herbert's legacy. And if you tell me that you think the worst part of Drake May is a quarterback that half the league would take off your hands anytime you asked, I'll take it.
Yeah, sure, and that's fine. But
you've been watching what we've had the last few years of
absolutely
quarterback play?
I have. 100% okay. I have. But having a good quarterback and still only winning 3 or 4, 5, 6 games doesn't really move me that much. You know, it just doesn't. Like, you have to put stuff around him. You have to give him
a
chance to succeed. It's a process, and they are very early on in that process. I just think maybe I was expecting and others were expecting to see a little more progress here in this first
year. So you're
year.
Really pushing back. It feels like on the Andy Hart 2-year plan. You think
oh, yeah.
this is
morning? He's like, this is going to be a multi-year rebuild. You know,
yeah, well,
and this is the first year, so I think it's going to
yeah,
be more
too
right. But do you think that next year they're a playoff team?
I think next year we should be hoping they're a playoff team.
We definitely are going to hope they're a playoff team.
No. But in a, no one hoped they were a playoff team this year unless you were a jackwagon. I know there were a few people predicting 9-10
that
wins.
They do what the Texans did.
They
right?
were idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were dumb. Mm-hmm. They didn't acknowledge what was going on. They didn't acknowledge the roster, the overturning of the entire staff, everything.
Sure.
They weren't eyes wide open. Next year, in a league where you can go from worst to first legitimately, and you have a franchise quarterback, you should at least be hopefully thinking, well, if this happens and they beat that team, this could be a playoff team this year. If we are not considering them at least on the cusp of playoff contention, then I will be disappointed in Elliot Wolf because he has not followed the Andy Hart plan.
Yeah, well, I'd be disappointed in him too. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls right after this on a Patriots Monday.